Check this out, okay? Everybody listen close now. Steve Spagnuolo, possibly the most respected defensive coordinator in the game, certainly among a handful, and the man who was in charge of slowing down the 49er offense in the Super Bowl last year. This is what he said when asked, just in general, about Brock Purdy.
I think the quarterback's really good against zone and finding those pockets and spaces, and I think the receivers adjust routes to do that. That makes it really challenging in zone. Now, one of the things you got to remember is we had, you know, last year was a little different. LJ was here, and Trent, we had him in a different spot, and so we'll see if we can do the same things. But I just think their system is built that they really can expose zone coverage, and yet I think they got enough skill that if you don't have the right man people covering their men, that can be challenging too. I mean, it's going to start up front and stop in the run, and hopefully we can get the quarterback not to be in timing like he is, because I can't find a weakness in this quarterback. I every time I put the film on, I'm more and more impressed. It's funny, I was watching, you guys will have a better idea of the year. When did we go out there and play in a regular season game? Yeah, and it was at the end of the game, and I think they had taken Garoppolo out, and it was Brock Purdy, and I had forgotten that. But he ran the two-minute drill and kind of got him down there, and then I think we picked it off at the end. But he looked pretty good then, not like he is now, but I'm really impressed with the quarterback.
I can't find a weakness in the guy. The more film I look at, the more impressed I am, from Steve Spagnuolo.
Yep.
Coach speak or real?
It's real. It's real, and all you have to do is watch the games as you and I have, and any fan who is here and watching the games every game once or twice, whatever you do, you can see it on film. And if you're one of these people from outside the market who's not a coach and you don't watch it as closely as Steve Spagnuolo does, who puts on the film and he watches it, and think about last year and 2 weeks in a run-up to the Super Bowl, he probably has seen every snap that Brock Purdy's ever taken, just because you're getting ready for a Super Bowl and that's what you do. So he's watched Brock Purdy very closely, and what he's talking about there is he's really good against the zone. He's going to pick you apart against the zone. And if you play man against him, their receivers are good enough to win against man. And he's really good at delivering the football there, too. So they're going to have their work really cut out for him.
I was just thinking about this because we know the Brock Purdy conversation. It has evolved. It has moved. And George Kittle was talking about this on Debo's pod earlier in the week, where he even said, you know, I think most of the talking heads have finally at least come around to the idea that, like, okay, the quarterback's good. You know what I mean? Like, where you want to go from there, okay, go from there. But, like, let's move past the stupid stuff. System guy, product of Kyle, has good teammates, actually not that good. All that stuff, I think largely you're now in the area of the lunatic fringe, if that's what you're still saying about Brock. But I want to now, okay, let's roll the golf ball forward from there. You all agree the Niners have a good quarterback. I hear now this hesitation, or at least people starting to want to dive into a specific word. And the word is elite. And there is discomfort, at least on some level, with people using that word. I want to define it real quick.
Okay.
For me, there is also a period of time, because how often have we heard about Brock? I need to see more.
Yeah.
I'm past that. Like, we're in year three, and you're watching similar output, similar numbers, consistency, sustainability. There is a period of time here that needs to be proven before I'm going to use the word elite. So, for instance, here's a teaser. For me, CJ Stroud doesn't get the word yet. Very good quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm excited. He's a proven commodity. I can't say elite yet. He's barely played over one season of football because he missed a couple games last year too. Another one, Jordan Love. I can't do that yet. So I've got my list of how many quarterbacks in the NFL right now can we truly confidently use the word elite. Okay.
And by elite, you're saying quarterbacks right now. For example,
right now,
Aaron Rodgers would be a guy who is elite. He's had an elite career.
He was.
But right now, he's not elite.
Russell Wilson used to be.
Yeah. Matthew Stafford probably was for a time elite, and he's not right now either. So you're just talking about guys as they're playing right now.
2024, week 7, the National Football League elite quarterbacks.
You probably are going to have a list that is...
How many players you think are on the list?
I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4? I'm going to say you have 4 names on your list. That's it.
4?
You got 4.
4?
You have 4.
You're guessing I have 4.
I'm guessing you have 4 on your list of elite quarterbacks.
I'll take the over.
Okay. Well, I'm just looking at, and I'm going in order of yards passing total.
Uh-huh.
And I'm seeing the top 4 in football in yards passing, none of them are elite. Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, I don't think that he's on the list because he doesn't have the sample yet, and I could be wrong. I thought you just said that, you know, sample size is such that you wouldn't put him on there. Maybe you have. Dak and Kirk Cousins, I don't think either one of them is on there.
So, all definitions, unless they're in the dictionary, are a little bit loose.
This is your definition.
But I'm basically talking about who I think are clear, sustainable, consistent, excellent, franchise quarterbacks who have also already shown some ability to maneuver through the playoffs. Okay?
Oh, then you probably have more than 4 then. And Brock would be on there.
I have 5.
Okay.
I think there are 5 elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. 5 elite quarterbacks in the National
Football League. Can I guess?
Sure. And I got $100 says you're going to get it right.
Okay.
You'll get the 5 right.
Patrick's got to be on there. Patrick Mahomes has got to be on there.
I'll let you do. We're not going to ding and buzz. Do all 5.
Even though he's having
you got to get all
down
5
here. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson would be number 2. Josh Allen would be number 3. You're going to put Brock Purdy on there because you're a Brockistan would be 4. And the 5th one is a little tough, but I'm going to say, I don't think you love this guy, but I'm going to put him on there anyway. It's a coin toss between these last 2. I'm going to say Joe Burrow. That's my 5. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Ding or buzz? Buzz or ding?
You, my friend, are having a show today.
Okay.
You're having a show today.
I wasn't sure about Jalen Hurts.
No.
Because he's shown an ability to navigate the playoffs.
Right, but that's only one of the factors of the definition. I do not find sustainability from Jalen Hurts. He did it one time, and he has kind of started to crap out since then.
Ooh.
So you can have guys who have had, like, a moment or a year, right? Like, Nick Foles was never elite, but he moved through the playoffs one time. So you know I'm not a believer in the Eagles and the Cowboys. I'm just not. To use that word, that does not mean that I think all of the other quarterbacks are not good. There are a lot of other good quarterbacks, and Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. There are those who I believe will become elite, Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud. Brock Purdy is not C.J. Stroud or Jordan Love. This is season 3. You have already gone through the playoffs twice. Both times that you got there, you won 2 games. You've only lost twice, and one of them you had no arm, and in my opinion, doesn't count. The other one was in overtime to one of the all-time greats. So yes, absolutely 100% in year 3 to be performing the way you are again and in largely doing it without some of the weapons that many have said were the key to his success. Yes, Brock Purdy has arrived at Eliteville, along with Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. There's your list.
Yeah.
And I really wonder why there remains. I'd love to hear from people. If you won't use that word yet for Brock, why? What is the hesitation to start using words like star or elite or what have you?
It is either sample size or draftism or system quarterback or those other things that even those arguments are starting to wear a little bit thin.
We're so aware of those things now.
And he's now 20-7 in the regular year as a starter, 4-2 in the playoffs. He's 24-9 in his first 33 games, including 6 playoff games. That is second to almost nobody. And on the other side, I will pull up the Prospector, which the Niners send out every week before the game, and they have a list of all the Brock stats, everything that Brock has done in his career compared to other quarterbacks and also other Niner quarterbacks, and he is number one or number two in like eight different categories, including, you know, yards and touchdown ratio through this many starts and that many starts and all the rest of it.
Yep.
It's remarkable when you look at the list of all the Brock stats and most passing yards in a season for the Niners. He's number one. And all of the other things about highest single game percentage in history, he's got that. Highest completion percentage in a season, he's number three behind Steve Young and Joe Montana. So all the things where he's not the leader, he's like, right behind those two guys.
We talk about this a lot because I love it from a psychological warfare standpoint. Jeff Schwartz is going to join us in a few. He's a really, really good analyst, former Chief, Bay Area guy, former Oregon Duck. We'll get this conversation in with him, but I'd love to have it with you too. And I know what some of you are thinking if you disagree with it. Here comes Willard the Homer again. 858, such Homer talk. 415, good Lord, Willard, you've gone and lost your damn mind. Brock is not elite. Wonderful, wonderful takes. Call the show and tell me why. This is what I live for this. You can't give me a reason. Your reason, you call. I'd love to have this conversation with you. You're not going to have a good reason other than, well, I just don't think it. Okay, fine. Give me the backing. Give me the statistical backing. Give me the thing that you think he doesn't do well. Give us the playoff problem. Get what is your backing? Steve Spagnuolo thinks you've lost your mind. He thinks you've lost your mind. And he's one of the best defensive coordinators in football. So let's talk it out. I'm not scared of it.
888-957-9570.
What is your take? What is your backing for the fact that you don't want to use that word?
Highest passer rating through his first 25 starts since 1970.
Before
Mahomes is two.
Before the majority of our audience was born.
Kurt Warner is three. Right. Dan Marino is four.
Let's ride. 888-957-9570. Jeff Schwartz is going to join us next. You're going to join us next, if you dare, on Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
There are a lot of people who want to talk for a second off of that list about C.J. Stroud. And if you're just joining us, I wonder why some seem to be hesitant to affix the word elite to Brock Purdy. I think there are five current elite quarterbacks in the NFL. I base this based on not just your statistical output, but how's your team doing? Do you win the majority of your games? Have you proven that you can move through the playoffs probably multiple times? So what are you doing in big games? And I sort of want to see season three. And for Brock, this is season three. C.J. Stroud, if you add in playoffs, Brock Purdy has played almost an extra season on C.J. Stroud. He has played 14 more games in his career than C.J. if you add in playoffs. So I think C.J. Stroud is probably the next one to join the group. Houston, I think, is going to win that division this year. Let's see him do that for this season. Go to the playoffs again. Let's see what that looks like. And then my list can be six. But that's where I have it right now. And I think a lot of defensive coordinators that I hear kind of see it the same way. And it's not to say, again, that there aren't other really good quarterbacks. I left Jared Goff's name out. Jared Goff's a really, really good quarterback. I don't see him as an elite performer that defensive coordinators lose sleep over. He's a good player. Very good player.
Yeah, and I think that a Super Bowl would certainly change the conversation for Jared Goff, because if you look at what he's done, he's been to the playoffs, he's been to a Super Bowl, he's been to a conference championship game, he's done a lot of great things, but he hasn't quite gotten over the hump yet. And so, you know, Jared Goff has played a lot more games than Brock Purdy has, and his numbers are really good, maybe not quite as good as Brock in a smaller sample, but certainly he's up there. CJ's played in 23 games, Brock's played in 33, so 10 more than C.J. Stroud. And because I got C.J. as 14-7 as a starter.
Brock has played 31 games in the regular season in his career.
Right, he started 27. Yeah, so
but he's played,
if you want to count the games where he came off the bench.
You play.
I get that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were talking about the Kansas City game. Spagnuolo was referencing it when he came off the bench in mop-up duty and threw a pick. But C.J. Stroud, in his two playoff games, he looked pretty good in the first and then looked okay in the second one. So I think he's a guy with a little bit more time. You might put him in that same company.
I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks. You know, people are like, well, the NFC doesn't have any good quarterbacks. Of course they do. We said it. Cousins is good. I think Baker Mayfield is now playing really good football. Dak is good. I love Jaden Daniels. Jalen Hurts is good. Jordan Love is clearly good. Goff is good. Starting to get excited about Caleb Williams. I could go around the entire NFC and argue that more than half of the starting quarterbacks could be received or described as good. Some of them even very good. But this is who I see as elite right now. As far as guys who are going to be perennial playoff performers, their teams are absolutely going to be factors every year. The one that some of you could question in this moment, I guess, would be Joe Burrow. And I know that was the kind of the fifth one that you guessed.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were hemming and hawing back and forth, because I don't really know what the hell's going on with that team. Joe has proven who he is in this league and has been to a Super Bowl. And has had the most success directly against Patrick Mahomes of anyone else in the league. I don't know what the hell's going on with that team this year.
And I look at that team, and I think that they're kind of two different teams, because offensively they're usually pretty good. This year they've been a little bit uneven on offense, particularly that game where they had to kind of survive the New York Giants 17-7. But a lot of this is so circumstantial, because Brock Purdy is able to do what he's doing in part because he has a really good coach and a lot of talent around him. And that's not to take anything away from Brock Purdy, but a lot of this is circumstantial, where you get into a spot. Jared Goff and his stock is now rising because they have a really good offense. They have a great coordinator. He's got weapons all over the field. And so his stock is going up because of that.
He's got the best run game in the NFL.
No doubt.
I think right now, for sure. Which is funny, because that was the ding, or one of the dings, on Brock Purdy in the past. Oh, you can't give Brock any credit because he's got a good run game. Well, Jared Goff now has a two-headed monster, and David Montgomery might be the most underrated player in the league, and their offensive line is just killing people. They are fantastic. But I don't hold that against Goff at all.
I think Baker Mayfield is another good example of a guy whose circumstance has elevated him, because Tampa Bay's offense is also incredible, and he's a big part of it. But when you're playing in Cleveland, you're not going to have the same ability to ascend as you are when you go to a team that has a lot of weapons.
Let's go to Josh on 580. Josh, thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. How you doing?
Yes, sir. What's going on, fellas? Dibs, round of applause for you, first off. That was a great performance today.
Thank you.
Yeah, very, very welcome. But yeah, I think it's a very interesting question, man. I am a very staunch Brock.
The hell happened there?
Yeah,
sorry. Call back.
Yeah, call back.
What position did you play in high school, Ken? What position did you play in baseball? Did you play baseball?
He was an outfielder.
Okay.
Yeah.
E8.
Yeah.
He used to wrestle.
He's more of a corner outfielder, quite frankly. If he's playing center, there's going to be a lot of balls.
Yeah. Fat fingers back here,
Fat fingers. Yeah, well, that stinks. I wanted to hear that.
That reminds me of the Homer Simpson episode when he gained so much weight and the operator says, if you're trying to dial 911, mash the keypad now because his fingers are so fat he can't dial.
Oh, God.
Anyway, just quick aside.
You know how we all get mad at autocorrect? Because you're like, that's not what I'm trying to say. Or like, I get mad that the iPhone won't let us swear. I'm like, no, I don't mean fudge. Okay, I meant...
Or ducker. I get a lot of ducker, yes. And I get a lot of,
I get mad at, though, that when it won't autocorrect, because my thumbs are so fat, like, I'm just, like, writing things that are sort of, kind of, like, try to write out the word interesting, and you'll write...
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, get it. Autocorrect. You know what I'm trying to say.
You know me, phone.
Anyway, all right.
You know me, phone.
We know we want to talk to Jeff Schwartz, and he's kind enough to join us here on the River Islands guest line. Yep, many years in the league, played with the Chiefs, a Bay Area guy, Oregon Duck, Fox Sports Radio analyst. He's all these things, and he's with us now in Willard and Dibs. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, thanks for doing it. So, why don't you just jump into the conversation that we're sitting here having and give us your sort of sense on how this year has maybe evolved the Brock Purdy conversation now that he's having another good year and this year doing it without some of his weapons.
It's a good question. I don't really know that it's changed. I think the people that don't want to like Brock Purdy are just not going to like him. They're going to try to find different ways to tell us why they don't like him, right? And then the people that like him or want to defend him are going to look at this season and say, look what he's done. That throw to Debo the other night, sort of across his body, I think it was Debo, right, across his body for the touchdown against Seattle. That's a throw, it's a dangerous throw, but it's completed. You can use it in any sort of argument, right? You say, well, look, dangerous throw. You can't do that if you're a franchise quarterback. You say, hey, man, guy's making a play, right? I think Purdy is the same as he's been. He's a good quarterback. He was very close to winning Super Bowl last season. He wasn't the reason they won or lost that game. And I think this year he's continued to get better with more reps, and he is what he is. And if people don't like him, I don't think this season's going to change much. And you always find ways to poke holes in play if you want to. You can always find ways to elevate guys. I think Brock Purdy's really good. I think what's going to shock people is when he makes $65 million this offseason, and that changes. And then the conversation changes, right? Because now it's about, okay, well, you can't pay everyone else, right? Like when you pay one quarterback, you have to sort of cut down the roster a little bit, go younger. Is Purdy going to be good enough to elevate everyone around him when the contracts change? But you don't have to worry about that this year, right? He's still under a rookie contract, and when CMC comes back, everyone's fully healthy. I think I saw that Jennings didn't practice today, and maybe Debo didn't practice either. They're beat up right now. When everyone gets back healthy, man, I would expect the 49ers to be right where they were last season.
So hearing that, does it take a little bit of the pressure off a game that's a Super Bowl rematch, knowing that even in a win or a loss, you still have 10 more games in the regular season?
I think you want to be Kansas City because they're a good football team, right? You want to measure yourself up to the Chiefs. But the thing about the NFL is that one loss doesn't really define your season. And obviously, this will be if they lose, that'll be what, their third or fourth loss for the Niners.
Maybe fifth in a row overall. Yeah,
yeah, it depends on how far back you go, but yeah, it would be five.
Yeah. No. I'm talking about this season. If the Niners lose on Sunday,
it'd be fourth loss.
You don't. If you're Niners, if you have four losses through seven games, not where you want. Not where you want to be. Like, it's not a must win because you're playing the Chiefs. It's a must win because you need wins, right? And I think you still win the division. I don't think Seattle's very good. Arizona's not good, and the Rams are just beat up, and they probably aren't going to compete in that division anyways. But I think you want to win this game because the Chiefs are really good. I don't mean. Super Bowl thing, Trent Williams, I think, said it, right? Like, that was last year. Like, it's over. Like, it's over, and you want to win this game this week because the Chiefs are a good football team, and you want to prove yourself against the Chiefs. And so it'd be a great game, man. You know, Andy Reid sort of has the number right now of the 49ers, as you mentioned, all the wins in a row. So just sort of finds ways. A couple years ago, they went to San Francisco and won that game by a lot, if you remember. Had a really good game plan for Bosa. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun for both teams. Chiefs off a bye, Niners get a little bit of rest off that Thursday game. So everyone will be fresh and ready to go.
Jeff, totally get what you're saying with regard to just, you know, the standings and whatnot. But I wonder, what is your perspective on how, especially some of the Niners who have been there for a while, what happens to them mentally if they lose this one and it's like, man, they beat the same team, beat us again?
You know, it doesn't matter, I would say, like, now. I think that, obviously, you know, you'd have to admit, like, Chiefs have our number, but I think it's more for, like, if they meet again in the Super Bowl, right? Because then the doubt is like, geez, they beat us five times in a row. Then the doubt starts to creep in. And then what happens sometimes, too, is you sort of over-prepare, right? You do a little bit too much. You try to find things that aren't really there. And that's where I think that it gets into, like, the quote-unquote ownage of it, right? Where you just, as a player, as a coach, sometimes you just lose. Like, that's football, right? It's sports. And sometimes you don't have to overanalyze it. When you lose so many times in a row to a team, you start thinking about it, right? Like, what can we do differently? Sometimes you do too much, and then you over-prepare for a game. I'm not saying it's going to happen this weekend, but I could see if they lose again. And in New Orleans in February, the Niners thinking to themselves, like, we got to do more than we need to, right? Because they lose the game. So that's where I think it matters. I don't think it matters to this year, because the Niners have more goals in front of them before they would play the Chiefs again, right? They have to win the NFC West. They have to be in the playoffs. They have to beat, you know, the NFC is good this year, right? The Lions are really good. Obviously, the Hutch injury is not great. The Vikings are really good. I mean, the whole North is pretty good. The Packers, like, there's more wins to be done before you even would have a chance to play the Chiefs again. So I think, in the moment, it would suck. It would stink to lose again. But I don't think it would matter until they played again in February.
Yeah, Jeff Schwartz here on 95.7 The Game. When you look at Kansas City this year, doing it a little bit differently and not a lot of vertical throwing, and Mahomes, 6 touchdowns and 6 picks, yet they're still undefeated. Does it make you kind of marvel at Kansas City, knowing that they're not as high-powered, yet they're still undefeated?
I mean, I don't know. At this point, the Chiefs they feel inevitable, right? Sign of a good team is winning different ways. And look, there were games this year when the offense was better, when Rice was healthy, and then there's games when the defense has to take over. So they can win many different ways. It makes them really dangerous because if your game plan for something, what is their weakness right now? You can say vertical passing, sure, but then, like, last game against New Orleans, they just came out and they just nickel and dimed you with 4 tight ends and threw 1 deep pass to Worthy. They can do that when they need to. And Mahomes is understanding. He hasn't played his best football so far this season, but he hasn't had to. And off a bye, the Chiefs are really good. So I'm kind of curious what they've dialed up offensively for the 49ers in this game. But you're not going to get those deep threats. They don't have those guys anymore. And they didn't have them last year either. And I'm curious to see how their offense operates in general down the stretch without, it really feels like last season again, right? Now, they might go trade for someone and make a big splash to get some more help. But right now, it's a lot of, 5 to 8 yard passes. You take a couple attempts deep in the game, hope to hit them. You run the ball really well, which they did last week with Hunt and Carson Steele. The offensive line is good really inside. And you just sort of play these close games every week and hope you can kind of survive until you get a wide receiver back.
Jeff Schwartz with us, and Jeff played the offensive line position, so I think you're a good person to ask this. Like, with all the game planning in the world, why has no one been able to figure out how to slow down Chris Jones?
Well, so this is just a general philosophy thing now in for defenses. So what a lot of teams are doing on defense now is they're basically what we call, like, putting 5 across, right? So every offensive lineman is singled up. So it's 1 versus 1. Well, when that happens, Chris Jones is a one-on-one. I mean, you can't do anything about it. He's really good. And so it's one thing defenses have done just over the years and trying to isolate their pass rushers one-on-one. And as an offense, you can't help. It's just that simple. So the Chiefs do this, the other teams do this, where they say, hey, man, we're going to make it to where your center's got to go one side and Chris Jones is by himself, right, on the right guard. Or you got to go the other way, and the left guard has them one-on-one because there's five guys showing at the snap. And that's just the hard part about pass protection right now is defenses will sort of isolate guys. And Chris Jones moves too, guys. So, you know, when you're playing a guy who is only on one side of the ball, so like, you know, Hutchinson, a Watt, a Myles Garrett for the most part, we line up on the same side every time, you can game plan for that, right? You can say, okay, even if they show us this look, we'll find a way to block it some other way. But Chris Jones will pick and choose. He'll choose the right guard, then he'll choose the left guard, then he'll choose the – not, he's not on the left tackle very much. He'll choose the right tackle. So he just sort of picks – he won't choose left tackle this week, I'll tell you that. He'll pick and choose who he rushes over too, so you can't game plan for him to be in the same spot every time too. So those are the reasons why he's just – he's singled up a lot. His get-off is really good. He's same sort of Aaron Donald thing where – even sometimes when you send a double team his direction, he's so good he either splits a double team or goes outside the guard, and the guard can't get out there fast enough to have the center help him. So he's a really good player. He deserves Defensive Player of the Year at some point in his career. I would Hutch hurt now, and maybe, you know, if the Steelers lose a little bit, Watt gets a little cooler on that award. But he's really good. He's done a great job this season so far, and he's a game wrecker, guys. He's so good inside. So, look, Niners will have a plan for him, but then again, the defense can dictate who blocks who.
And you mentioned the left tackle, and Trent Williams, who has been just incredible throughout his career. But when you watch him still at this late portion of his career, what makes him still so dominant over there on the left side?
Well, I thought the game against Seattle was probably his best of the season. I think he sort of got in shape. Got to his kind of peak physical shape. He missed all the training camp. You know, if you're a veteran, you know what to do, but that still does matter, right? You still need reps. And he's just still supremely gifted athletically. There was a play a couple weeks ago where his feet were, like, crossed up and crazy sauce, and all of us were just falling on our faces, and he just recovered a pinky good dude. I mean, you know, I've played with a couple Hall of Famers, not on the offensive line, but just other guys in my career, and they're just different. I mean, it's hard to put it in better terms than that. Like, he's just a different guy. His movement skills are different. His health, his recovery, his ability to just power through things, and his hand placement, like, all these things that he does are just different than everyone else. And so I think he sort of finally got in shape, and now we'll see the kind of the best ball of his the rest of the season.
Jeff Schwartz with us. And Jeff, listen, sometimes people come on the radio and they don't really want to get too deep into predictions and all of that, but I listen to you on Sunday morning. I know what you guys do. And so I want to know, when you look at 49ers hosting the Chiefs -1 Sunday at 1 o'clock at Levi's, what's your thought?
Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes covers all these games as a 3-point favorite or less. They're off a bye. I know you guys have some rest too with the 49ers. They're off a bye. And look, I played for the Chiefs. My brother played for the Chiefs. I watched the Chiefs for for 10 years every game they play now. And the one thing about this version of the Chiefs is you often get their best games in these games, right? Like, they don't care about playing the Falcons in Atlanta. The Chargers in L.A., they care less about that. They care about this game, though, right? Niners. It's a team that played the Super Bowl. It's a very talented football team. So I like the Chiefs to win and cover. And if they didn't, it wouldn't surprise me. Niners are a good football team. But, these are the games I think the Chiefs really want to win. Playing the Saints on Monday Night Football, they just won because they're better. I mean, it's like not as important to them. So this game matters to Kansas City. It matters to Niners, too, of course. But I would take the Chiefs. That's where I put my money. I haven't bet on the game yet. I might. I probably will stay away. Maybe some props or something that I look at. But it would be Chiefs or pass for me.
Jeff, I know it's been an active day for you. Thank you so much for coming on, though.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
All right, there it is. Former Chief and current Fox Sports Radio analyst and Bay Area guy. And Grandy wants us to say former Duck.
Yeah.
Jeff Schwartz. Yeah.
And so he's on. Quack. He's on before you on the Fox Sports.
He's
Sunday,
on in the
right?
morning. Yeah, he's gonna be on. Like, if you want to hear the guys talking out about all the different bets and different things that they're liking, if you when you get up Sunday morning before the game start, Jeff is on that show on Fox Sports Radio.
Okay.
Yeah,
and he likes the Chiefs, and it seems like it's more than just him being a former Chief.
Although he mentioned it. He's yes, like, I like but, the Chiefs. I played for the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs.
But he also said that Patrick Mahomes in games that are a spread of three or less tends to cover. I don't know what the number is exactly on how often he covers those games, but it's interesting as we've talked about how the Niners are going to be motivated for this game, and he's like, yeah, the Saints on a Monday night, who cares? Or, you know, the Saints at New Orleans or even at the Chargers, you're not going to be as motivated as you will for the Chiefs to be going up against the Niners.
I don't know if you're a numbers person, and numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Yep.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Thank you, especially if they're my numbers. For the crowd that wants to, and we can get into this, and Josh did call back, and apparently he forgave Ken, and the two of them have made a coffee date or something like that.
That's
I don't know
cool.
what's going on, but Josh, hang right where you are, because we do want to get to the rest of your call, but we're right up against it. But more of you can jump on in on this, okay? Brock Purdy, to me, is one of five current elite quarterbacks in the NFL. 888-957-9570, and I don't know if this does anything for you. I have in front of me right here the career leaders for all-time quarterback rating, okay? So we're going to do some game show music because there are three on the list whose career quarterback rating is north of 100. So we'll see if Dibs can get those three. And then we'll tell you where Brock Purdy would sit had he played enough games. He's not there yet. He's getting there fast. But maybe those numbers will help further the point that I'm trying to make, and maybe not, because maybe you don't care about quarterback rating. But it's pretty interesting. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. By the way, Brock Purdy's speaking today. We'll hear that coming up in about a half hour as well. Your phone calls. Brock Purdy is one of five elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Disagree? I'd love to see you try. Have a reason other than I don't like it. 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. It's Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
What a show for Dibs. And the way that it's going, I have no doubt you're going to get these right too. But let's put those aside for just a second. We've got some business to attend to. If you were on with us earlier, and we kept telling you that a bunch of Warriors were going to stop by, let's just say that there were some planes, trains, and automobiles moments that sort of took place. And so we're going to do that on a different day, which is kind of a tragedy because Quentin Post saying "Don't Stop Believing" in front of a bunch of people at Chase Center yesterday. It was very funny, and I was looking forward to talking to an incredibly tall man about him singing in front of a crowd at a major concert arena in America when he's not a singer.
And you had the chef and Draymond Green jumping and dancing around, and you know the crowd was into it. And when you're his age, and I don't know the exact age, but I would imagine he's in his early 20s, and that song now has got to be 40-something years old. Like, how do you even know that song at his age?
Well, I mean, sir, I've learned this, and you have too, with kids, that certain songs, like, they last. And sometimes they're not even the ones that you think. You know, I was talking to Ken earlier about him having tickets to go see Oasis in Europe. My kids can all sing Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Well, how? How old is that song? When did Wonderwall come out? Ken, I'm sure you know that off the top of your head.
Probably at least 30 years ago.
Is it
90? I was thinking 97. God, so
well, I used to listen. Yeah, like it was when I was in college, which was mid 90s.
October 30th, 1995.
29 years ago.
29 years
ago.
Almost
to the day.
Update: my kids are not 29. They're not 20. They're not 18. They all know the song. So this is one of those songs.
Don't Stop Believing, 1981.
Yeah,
you want, so 43 years ago.
You want to hear Quentin Post, 7 feet tall and a falsetto? This is a little bit of it. Where was he born? stuff. You get the idea.
It's no wonder why he can hit the high notes, Mark. He's from Amsterdam. There you go.
I thought he was born and raised in South Detroit, no?
I think Northwestern Amsterdam.
Anyway.
Seven-footer. And older than I thought, he's 24, Quentin Post. He's a full-on 24.
24?
So. Yeah.
I don't even know you're allowed to be a rookie at age 24 anymore in the NBA.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, TJD, I think, was 24 last year as a rookie.
And it worked. Yeah. So that was fun. I mean, we will reset with Quentin Post at another time. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to have Dibs see if he can do the NFL career passer rating thing. But we cannot let an incredibly key piece of business get away from us. You know what day of the week today is. Today's Thursday. It is one of the 3 days of the week that is home to a primetime football game. And when there's primetime,
oh, yeah,
there's also Fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
I've seen polar ice caps that aren't as cold as you, but let's see if you can rally back, because we do know one thing about Dibs. Sometimes he takes an L, sometimes he bounces back.
Yeah, and I'm having a pretty good show.
You're throwing a perfect game, but the show's not over yet.
And no pressure. This is a lot tougher than a Greg Cosell interview or a Mark Willard five elite quarterbacks convo, because this is one of those games that is such a stay away. I would not pick this with a 10-foot pole, but unfortunately, I have to.
You do.
And I look at rookie quarterback against rookie quarterback, mediocre team against mediocre team, and I think, you know what? When in doubt, give me the points. I'll take New Orleans and the 2.5. Cuckoo!
Winnie Mo. We got a home dog.
And home dog.
Home dog.
And
home dog.
This game feels like 14-13 to me, one way or the other.
This game feels like go say hi to your family and skip it.
Totally.
That's what this game feels like.
I don't have that choice, unfortunately.
I got one of those confidence pools, and I'm like, I don't even know who I'm picking, but I'm putting it at one. I'm skipping this game.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know what we're supposed to do with this. Bo Nix versus Spencer Rattler. None of the Saints are playing. The Broncos don't have any good players to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with this football game.
I'm in a confidence pool, and this is my 4, which is my third lowest, because there's only 15 games, so there's no 1. We do it like you take off there's the no low.
It's okay.
2 through 16.
Got it.
So this That's is weird. My third least confident game. You do it the other way where...
Yeah.
So there's
what's the difference? It's just points.
It's points, yeah.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
The 16 stays, and then you take off the bottom. You guys do it the other way around.
Yeah, we take off
the top. Either way, doesn't really matter, but this is my third most confident pick, and I have New Orleans and the 2.5 Cuckoosh. Thank you. Thank you. One more lock.
We're going to go to the phones here in just a sec. Can we please have game show music, Grandy? I would love that. I would appreciate it so much. There are 3 quarterbacks, and the minimum, you have to have played, I think, 64 football games. You have to play 64 football games in order to qualify for the list. So Brock Purdy is just about halfway there, and if he's doing what he's doing then, what he is now, we'll hold that, and you'll see kind of where it sits. But there are 3 quarterbacks in the history of this league that have a career quarterback rating of 100 or higher. Can you name them?
All 3 of them? Man.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because you're talking about a long history of NFL quarterbacks, and there's only 3 that are higher than 100?
All-time passer rating leaders, minimum 64 games. There are 3 quarterbacks that are 100 or above.
I'm thinking about highly accurate guys who have been really good for a long time, and I'm thinking about Drew Brees. He was just up on our screen. I'm going to go with Drew Brees.
That is number six on the all-time list, 98.7. That's a no from us, dog.
That hurts. Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of years where he's led the league. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers.
Number one.
Let's go,
Aaron Rodgers, 103.
Number one.
103.
103.
Aaron Rodgers.
Man.
Go ahead.
You can't do quarterback convos without the GOAT. Man. Tom Brady's got to be in the top three. Gakush.
Sorry. Number 11, 97.2. Tom Brady, number 11.
Well, I get it. I get it. God, I'm having a good show. From one GOAT to the other, I'm going to go with the other GOAT and cross my fingers. I'm sitting with two strikes. Patrick Mahomes has got to be up there.
Let's Patrick go. Mahomes, number two at 102.9. Just a shade behind Aaron, but obviously both of them are still playing, so we'll see where it goes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's make or miss here. It's a make or miss league.
It is.
And I can't help but think about the Dwight Clark Legacy series where we sat with a guy who told you that you actually were singing. And he was very accurate, and he was very good. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm going to go with the left-hander, Steve Young, for the win. You can put it on the board. Steve Young? Steve Young.
You were having such a good show. You're still throwing a shutout, but I'm sorry.
It's a fluky.
I'm sorry, we have a base runner now.
Texas Leaguer. Tell me Steve Young is close.
Infield single.
Steve Young is number 13 on the all-time list at 96.8. You can go ahead and fade the dibbers and fade the music.
I never liked QB rating anyway.
You could have guessed for the rest of the hour, and I don't think you would have gotten who number three is.
So I'm guessing it's not Joe Montana.
He is also
number three.
Still playing. Still what? Playing. He is still
Joe Flacco.
No. Joe Flacco. Flacco's probably like 400,000.
Kirk Cousins?
Nope.
Not Stat Padfield.
I could give it away.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Looks like he's starting this week. Looks like he's
starting this week. Oh, my God. That
week.
Guy?
Uh-huh.
Everyone hates me except Sierra?
Mm-hmm.
Russ, doggy dog?
Yeah, Russell Wilson at an even 100.
Oh, my God.
Is number three on the all-time list. Rounding out the top five, two of my other on my list of five elite quarterbacks, Joe Burrow is number four. Lamar Jackson is number five. You want two quick aside, really fun ones? I give you two names that are also in the top 10 of career quarterback rating that'll blow your mind because all of you think they stink out loud. And you're kind of right. Number seven on the all-time list is Deshaun Watson. And number 10 on
Deshaun Watson?
Yes. And number 10 on the all-time list is Jimmy Garoppolo.
What? Quarterback rating. Am I right?
See it.
Now, why do we bring this up? Aaron Rodgers, all-time career leader, 103. Patrick Mahomes, 102.9. Brock Purdy's career quarterback rating at this hour is 108.9.
Man.
So we are 30 games away of him being the highest rated passer in the history of the National Football League. Go ahead. Tell me he's just okay.
Exactly.
I'm listening. Odyssey.com.
Thank you. I knew it.
I'm listening. We're right here. Josh, who is still on 580, probably not now. Josh, are you at home on your couch by now? Josh? After all that.
Got me.
There we go. Hi, Josh.
I got hit with a cancellation sensation, man.
You sure did. You sure did.
Can't pay it.
I'm still on 580, man. I was on 580 before picking up my son. Now I'm on 580 with my son.
Perfect.
But here's what I wanted to say, man. It's interesting because I support Brock Purdy a ton. I think he's top seven for sure in the league right now, and he's our franchise quarterback. When I think about elite quarterbacks, I think about guys that are extremely, extremely accurate, right? That can extend plays, at will. That can run when you need them to, and when it's fourth quarter, you know that they're going to make a drive to at least get a field goal, right? And the last piece is that if you put them on any other team in the NFL, that team automatically becomes a playoff contender. And now, I really love Brock, but there is just something that I think is that you said he has enough sample size. I think we just got to wait to see the end of this season. And if he really does it again this season, then he's truly in that elite category. But it's going to take some more grinded out wins. It's going to take some more close games. It's not going to be as many blowouts as last year. Last year was almost so easy. It's like, oh, it's the team because it's so easy. This year's going to be more grinded out, and it's going to have to be on Brock's back just a little bit more. So the sample size is accurate. It has to be 3 years, but it's got to be another full year for him to really show it, you know, game in, game out, where they come back in four quarters and win games for people to really give him that elite status. And I think he's got it all that it takes. He's got all those attributes that I mentioned. He can extend plays. Yep. He can run when you need him to. He's extremely accurate. He's got it all. People just got to see it in the clutch moments in the big games. And the big games so far, he hasn't really performed well. Ravens last year, he had a down game. The Super Bowl, he had a down game. The playoffs before, you know, the Lions comeback was his biggest one. The Packers game was an okay game. So in the biggest games, he also hasn't shown up in the best way. So I think that's why people are a little skeptical. So I truly believe he's there, but I think that's kind of the reason, the sample size. And when it's those big games, is he dominating? We just haven't seen it just yet, but I believe him. I got it. You guys have a great show, man.
Josh, real quick before you go, since you said he had a down game in the Super Bowl, do you have any recollection at all of what his numbers were in that game?
No, I mean, statistically wise, I think it was a great. I know he was pretty good. I know he was pretty good stats.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact stats. But when the drives, when we needed him, he didn't finish. And that's what we're talking about, elite quarterbacks, they make those plays. You know what I'm saying? When it's third and five and you find anybody, you scramble, you make it. I'm not saying that's me. I'm just saying that's what everybody else is looking at, right?
Yeah, I get it. Josh, Josh, thank you for holding. Thank you for staying with us. There's a very good call. It was reasoned. I get it. I chuckled at one point because when at this point, I don't know if we're not going to just, every time there's a year ending, we're going to go, okay, do it one more time. Do it again. Like when he said, we need to see if we get to the end of this year, then we'll give it to him. Okay. Like everybody gets to make their decision on what a sample size actually is. I just, I chuckle at that at this point because we've done that. We did that already. Okay, that was a fun rookie year. Then you got hurt. Do it again. Okay, he does it again. He gets fifth in the MVP, and he goes to the Super Bowl.
Well, and his year year was the 14th best quarterback rating for a single season in history.
In history, right. And then he comes out this year, and again, statistically, very, very strong. Sure, a 3-3 record. We get how we got here, but he's been doing it with a lot of his key people hurt around him, and it has not hurt him statistically at all. And so we're still going to go do it again. Do it again. In the next breath, you'll go, why? CJ Stroud is elite, Mark. Well, wait a minute. I thought I was being told that you had to play for 3 or 4 full years before. Like, no one's asking for CJ Stroud to do it again. No one wants Jordan Love to do it again. Jordan Love hasn't even played a full season at this point. So that's that's all I'm getting at. And I also think that while there's some points in there with regard to the whole, like, okay, you get the ball, 2 minutes left to go, there we forget the success stories. Oh, he hasn't done that in the big games. Well, he did it against Green Bay in the playoffs. He did it against Detroit in the playoffs. And when he got the ball in overtime against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, refresh my memory, where did the drive go?
But settled for three.
It settled for three.
It was another red zone failure.
It went all the way to the 3 yard line.
Yep.
And a lineman went the wrong way. And you guys will blame Brock and call me a homer because I said that.
No, but okay. Not blaming Brock.
But I mean, Brandon Ayuk is standing by himself in the end zone. And
yeah.
If a lineman is not on his face, then Brock's going to complete that pass and the Niners are going to go up by 7.
That was not the only play that happened on that drive. So, you know, you can give a quarterback credit and you can also give a quarterback blame, and it's either fair or unfair no matter how you do it. And his numbers in the game, 23 of 38, one touchdown, quarterback rating of 89.3.
Yep.
by his standards, that wasn't as good as what he's been.
Well, but by okay, first off, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.